Okay, so we're about a little over 3 weeks into the new year, and I am sure that you, like most of us, have made some New Year's resolutions. Now, you may not have been boisterous about those resolutions. You may have just said them to yourself. Most of the time, if we make those New Year's resolutions, we don't want a lot of people to know them because sometimes they get all tuckered out, and we don't want to have any of that accountability that comes along the way. So all we have to deal with would be ourselves if we're not doing well. But a lot of times when we come into a new year, what happens is folks will sit back and say, you know what, I want to do better in following the Lord. I want to have a better devotional life. I want to have a better prayer life. I want to do better at going to church and my church attendance and so many other things. So I want you to take this moment at about 3.5 weeks into the new year to ask yourself, how are you doing with some of those resolutions that you made? And then I want to say this, if you're having some struggles with them, the question is, are you trying to do them on your own? You know, one of the things that Jesus did when he began to call his first disciples, he gave them a command. And that's what we're going to look at in our text today. But that command was, follow me. I will promise you that no matter what kind of resolutions you've made, unless they're being empowered to be made by the Lord in your life, you're not going to do well with them. So grab your Bible, come on back. We're going to be looking at passages out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And today's Bible study we're calling Follow Me. See you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Again, we're glad that you are joining us for our Bible study today. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Now, a moment ago, we were talking about those resolutions, and I know that there were probably some people that were going, okay, well, I haven't done as well as I want to. Some of you have already crashed and burned. Some of you are doing really, really well with those circumstances and situations. But as we head into those new years, we look at the New Year's resolutions, there's a few things we want to look at. Now, when we get to this particular text in Matthew today, you have to understand that there were 30 years that were condensed down into four chapters in the book of Matthew. You know, we know that when we look at Matthew's gospel, we see, you know, the birth in Bethlehem, we see the flight into Egypt, then we see the return to Nazareth, and then we see the silent years. We're talking about those years when, you know, you don't hear a whole lot about what was going on, you know, with Christ between that time that he was 12 and until, you know, about he was, you know, 30 years old. Along the way in those particular passages, we see, you know, John the Baptist, we see the baptism, we see the temptation of Christ. All this is kind of condensed into these first four chapters. Now, what's happening is there's a new beginning that is getting ready to start, and that's the earthly ministry of Jesus that we're going to begin looking at. And so what's happening is he is to the point where he is beginning to choose his first disciples. Now, look with me, if you would, at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. We're going to begin reading verse 18. So that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Verse 20, "They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our Bible study today. Father, as we come to you, again, we're grateful, we're thankful for the opportunity that you give us to gather around your word. Lord, as we take these times and these moments and as we evaluate where we are, as we listen to the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance in our lives, I pray, Father, that you will draw us closer to you. I pray, Lord, that above all things, we will truly find that we are following you. Lord, we realize that the territory may not be what we like. We realize that we'll have to go through some dark valleys. But Lord, eventually we'll pop out into the sunshine and we'll rise to the crest of the hill. And Lord, help us to always know that whatever you do for a plan and for a purpose. And it's always to give you honor and glory. And Lord, enhance our walk with you. So bless our time, Lord. I pray you'll bless me as your speaker. Use me for your honor and glory over these next few moments as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this particular lesson, that we see the follow me. Yeah, I mentioned we're going to call this Bible study today follow me, but there's several different follow me's, as it were, as we look into this word. First of all, one of the things that we see is the follow me of faith. Now, particularly over the last couple of weeks, we have really been talking about what faith is and how it's exercised. We've defined it, and I want to define it once again to you, because if you look at the definition of faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The real simple definition is simply believing in something even when you can't see that. So there is a follow me of faith. Now, what's going on is that Peter and Andrew are busy about their daily work. I mean, they were going on in life just as normal. They got up that day just like it was any other day. They went out. They were fishing. They were out there to make a living. They were out there working to provide for their families. And you know, the thing about it is, they were probably having struggles and difficulties just like you and I do on a daily basis. I mean, you got to stop and think that even back in their day, they didn't have all the advances that we have to make life easier for us. So they weren't like supermen. These were just normal guys going about their normal day in their normal life. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes up to where they are working. Now, I want you to take note of that, because I find that to be a very, not just interesting, but very critical point. Jesus came to where they were working. And in the same way that he met them there, he meets us where we are. So if you're in the middle of a circumstance or a situation and you feel like you're all alone and you feel like nobody's there, let me tell you something. Jesus is going to meet you where you are. He went to these men where they were working. He met them, and he's also going to meet us in our time of need as well. Now, their hearts had been prepared for his call. Everywhere that we go, wherever the Lord sends us, he has put people in our path that he has already prepared their hearts to hear his message. That's why really it should be so simple for us to be able to share the gospel message, or to be able to tell the things that we have seen and we have heard the Lord do in our lives, because the Lord has already prepared the hearts of those who need to hear that particular message. And the same was true for these first disciples. So in light of that, let me ask you a question. Have you heard the follow me call of faith? Have you heard the Lord say that to you? Remember, he's going to meet you where you are. So many times we use the term seeker, and I get it. I mean, you know, people are sitting back going, well, I'm searching for something. Maybe I'm searching for God. When the whole idea is not that you're seeking him, but he's seeking you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where to meet you. He has put people along the way, along that path to prepare you. Sometimes you wind up getting to be the person that gets the joy of leading somebody to the Lord. Sometimes you're one that's just out there planting seeds. Maybe you're a seed planter. Maybe you're the sunshine or the rain or the miracle grow in the life of somebody along the way. But the Lord has all of this lined up. The question is, when you have heard the call of follow me, have you responded to that call? I believe it was last week I talked about the passage of scripture that says, in the Bible, where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whosoever will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And that's what salvation is about. It requires a response on our part. When the Lord is knocking at your heart's door, you do one of two things. There are no other options. You either go and you open the door and you let him in, or you ignore it and you leave him on the outside. So it's very, very simple. There's only one of those two choices, and you have done that, or you are in the process of doing one of those two things. You're either shutting him out or you're letting him in. And he says to follow me. Now, once you've opened that door of salvation, the Lord may say, hey, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. And that is a call of faith. And that's exactly what we're talking about right now. You see, the Christian life begins and it continues along the way in faith. You know, in Romans 1:17, the word tells us that the just shall live by faith. There's that word again. Remember, we've been talking a lot about that lately. How about this? How about 1 John 5:4 that says, faith overcomes the world. What overcomes the world? Faith overcomes the world. Now, as faith increases, and here's what you got to know. This is what you have to understand today, and I want you to pay careful attention to this statement. As faith increases, fear decreases, because those two are the opposite. Whichever one of those you feed the most in your life is going to be enhanced, it's going to increase, and it is going to be the strongest. So let me say that to you again. As faith increases, fear decreases. Sometimes you've looked and maybe you've seen somebody and you're sitting there saying, I would be scared to death to make the decision that they're making, but they don't seem to be having any problem with it at all. And of course, you know that that person is a spiritual person. You know they live their life by faith. And all of a sudden you go, I don't understand how you can just be so calm in the midst of this circumstance, situation, storm, whatever it may be. Well, the reason why is because they're exhibiting their faith that God is in control, that God is the one who has the answers. Now remember, once again, the third time I'm telling you this, as faith increases, fear decreases. So we have the follow me of faith, but there was also another follow me in there. There's the follow me of fishing for men. And notice in verse 19, let me give that to you again. It's a verse most of us know, we've heard for a lifetime. Verse 19 says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Very, very simple. The thing about it is that's a very neglected call in our society today. And that is the call for personal evangelism. Now, notice what I said. I didn't necessarily say church evangelism. I said personal evangelism. Every person that knows the Lord should be a personal witness for him. You should be telling your story. You should be giving your testimony. Yeah, I've said this before. I'm pretty sure I've said it through the years that we've actually been doing broadcasts. But one of the things you have to understand is that when somebody is called to be a witness, the only thing they can testify to are the things that they have seen or heard or experienced themselves. You know, I can't give your testimony. You can't give mine. God's done incredible things in my life, but he's done incredible things in your life too. So you have a story to tell. You have a testimony. And the sphere of influence that God has placed you in are the people who need to hear your story. So personal evangelism in our day and age is a neglected call. What we want to seem to do is say, well, I'll just drag my friend over to church and the preacher is going to do evangelism on Sunday morning. That's true. I'm not saying that there's a problem with that, but what about you personally evangelizing those people that you know and love and people that you don't want to see go to hell? Yet, do you have enough love? Do you have enough faith to tell your story to them? See, listen, whether they accept Christ or not is not up to us. That's not our responsibility. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. But it is, however, our responsibility to tell the story. And that's what God has given us the responsibility to do. So remember what I said. We were talking about a follow me. Follow me of fishing for men. Now, what happens when we neglect this personal evangelism side? What are the results of us not personally evangelizing in the spheres of influence that God's put us in? Well, here's one of the things. You see few churches filled. Now, so many times people sit back and say, well, church is where you go get the religion. No, folks, according to the Word of God, the church is the place where you can go and you fellowship with brothers. You're like-minded when you come together. Church is the place where you are to be discipled, where you learn, where you are equipped to go out into the world and share the gospel message. It's where you gain the knowledge, where the Holy Spirit brings it to your heart and mind when you're out there on that mission field. You know, one of the churches that I experienced when I was growing up and back in southern West Virginia had a sign over the doorway that as you left, it says you are now entering the mission field. Man, how true is that? You know, as you come to the church should be the place of preparation, the school, as it were, where the discipleship occurs and takes place, that you might be filled, that as you go out into the world and as you go into the highways and the hedges that God sends you to, then you will be a witness for him. So one of the results of neglecting personal evangelism is that few churches ever get filled with those who are wanting and desiring to be discipled. And then one of the other causes is that you see many joyless believers. Notice how I said that, joyless believers. I believe this is one of the greatest detriments to the gospel message today is that people that are lost in the world look at those who claim to be Christian and they say, man, I'm going to tell you one thing, they don't have any joy in their life whatsoever. They look like they've been running around sucking on sour persimmons, or they feel like they have to be so pious or something, or judgmental maybe even along the way. But there's no joy there. Folks, last time I checked, the Word of God tells me that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, when people look at us, they should see not only something different, they should see the joy that is within us. It should be something that they want to have. So here is the result of neglecting personal evangelism. Number one, would we say, few churches get filled. Number two, there are many joyless believers. I'll tell you one thing, listen, if you don't have the joy in your life in following the Lord, you're not doing it right. I just want to tell you that right now. You're not doing it right if the joy is not there, okay? So if you've got this neglect, when we're talking about personal evangelism there, what is the cure for the neglect, okay? I love what Psalm 126 verses 5 and 6 tells us. It talks about the fact that there is joy in sowing and reaping. I have preached message after message on the law. I call it the law of sowing and reaping. And we know what a law means. A law means it happens every time. I usually use this example. The law of gravity takes place 100% of time on this earth. If you trip over a step, you understand the law of gravity. You will fall and hit the ground. If I hold an object up and I drop it, it is going to fall. And it's going to do that 100% of the time. So I call that the law of sowing and reaping. And Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says that there is joy in sowing, giving out that gospel, and in reaping, and in being able to be a part of seeing that loved one, that friend, that coworker, that neighbor, or somebody give their life to Jesus. Man, there is great, great joy in that. You know, so many times I sit back and I think about the fact that in the church, when there's an invitation or when somebody has trusted Christ or when somebody has been obedient to following believer's baptism, man, we want to share in that joy with you. You know, so many times Satan wants to tell you, well, you know what, you don't want to do that. You don't want to hold up the service. You don't want to talk to the preacher. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You just do it in your own little corner over there. Listen, don't rob the body of believers of the joy that comes with seeing somebody come to trust the Lord as their Savior, or being obedient to following baptism, or seeing great spiritual victories. That's what we're all about. We want to be able to celebrate with you. So one of the cures for neglect is to find the joy in sowing and reaping. And by the way, that also tells you that you're going to reap what you sow. If you're out there sowing the good seed, you will reap the good benefits. If you're out there sowing the bad seed, then you're going to reap what you're sowing. Plain and simple. Remember, that's a law. Happens 100% of the time. So what is a second cure for neglect? That converts bring great joy to us. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 19 and 20 talks about that. Man, we get excited when we see people come to know Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Not only that, we see the kingdom enhanced. Yeah, you know, I've said this before. I don't care what our records say about the number of people that we have that are baptized or that have trusted Christ. But I will say this, those numbers do represent people. That's what I love to see. I like to see the joy of somebody coming to know the Lord and being obedient as they follow Him. It does bring great joy. And finally, I just want to kind of put it like this. We have got to get past programs and get to people. Too many times we think, well, we've got all these great programs, or we're doing this or we're doing that. Yeah, is the main cause because it's for the people? It's us doing what God has called us to do to be an influence in the life of the people? Or is it more about the programs? Folks, we got to get past that. We've got to think about the people rather than just simply the program. Well, why are we doing this program? Well, we've always done that. We've done that one for 30 years. Okay, well, what are the results of that program? Are people being reached for Christ? Are they getting saved? Are they being obedient to follow Him? Are they being discipled? And folks, if they're not, you might want to reevaluate some of the programs in your life. You might want to see if the focus is more about the program or the focus is more about the people that need to be reached with the gospel message. So there's the follow me of becoming a fisher of men. Now there's also the follow me of full surrender. Now I want to give you some passages, because Peter kind of rebelled at the news of the cross. In Matthew 16:24, and I want to share that with you, but Matthew 16, actually let me go to verse 21. Matthew 16:21, which, here we go, basically says this. It says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. All right. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now this is Peter taking Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Man, notice there's that word again, follow me. Let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. Now think about that for a minute. Peter is rebelling at the news of the cross, much like most of us would do. You know, if we were sitting there, we would sit back and say, well, no, there's no way, I don't want this to happen. And often there's those mixed emotions. When we look at what took place with Christ at the time of his arrest and all the way up to the crucifixion, we think about the crown of thorns. We think about the beating that he took. And if we were watching that, you know, we would sit back and say, how could anybody do that? But folks, here's the other part of it. Jesus knew that that was what was going to have to take place for you and I to be able to experience eternal life in that place called heaven. He knew that there had to be a perfect once for one and all sacrifice, and he was it. You see, without the crucifixion and without the resurrection, there is no salvation. And you know what, Peter, you know, being one of those that was right there with him, being one of the people, I could see where he would be sitting back going, man, this is not what we want to happen. And yeah, Peter, God love his heart, he was one of those guys that always seemed to open his mouth before he engaged his brain. But I can understand his heart. He didn't want to see that happen. And he felt like, well, I'm going to stand up for you. And of course, Jesus also let him know, yeah, not only will you deny me, you'll deny me three times before morning. And that's exactly what he did. But the Lord calls us to self-denial. What does it say? Let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And this is a daily thing that we have to do. It's not just something that you do once and say, okay, well, I've checked that box and I've filled it off. That is every day of your life when you get up, you have to deny yourself, pick up that cross, and follow him. How does this call affect you and I today? You know, what happens is there's a lot of self-denial that's in Christ's call. You know, so he's always calling us to deny ourselves and follow him. But you know what? We have a hard time with that because really deep down inside, we've got some selfishness about us. We want to do it our way. We want to do what is most comfortable for us. We have a plan, and oftentimes we'll sit back and say, well, you know what? We will know that that's not what the Lord wants for us, but then there's that battle that goes on within us. Well, do I do it his way, or do I do it my way? And I said before, the Frankie Sinatra song rises many, many times in this particular case. I did it my way, but I will promise you that your way is the long way. Your way is the one that leads to death and destruction. Your way is going to create and cause more problems than you could ever imagine. And even though Christ's way may look difficult from the onset, I will promise you it is the correct way. And it calls for self-denial. It still to this day calls for us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him on a daily basis. You see, folks, full surrender is the only thing that brings complete victory. Not partial surrender, not, well, I'm going to surrender this day of the week and then the other day of the week I'm going to do whatever. No. Full surrender is what brings complete victory in Jesus. So yet there was still another follow me that we see in these particular passages, and that's the follow me of focusing on Jesus. Okay, now you got to think about that. I'm going to carry you over to John chapter 21, because Peter, you know, after he goes through all these things, learns what he will do for Christ. And that's in John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15. Let me carry you over there. John chapter 21. And of course, as my Bible revs up and gets me where we need to be, here's what we see. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15, says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, 'Do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' Then he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Did you get it? Once again, he said, "Follow me." And this is the part where Peter is learning what his assignment is going to be as he follows the Lord. And yeah, it took him three times when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Yeah, I could do that right now. I could say, "Do you love Jesus?" And then you might say, "Well, you know I do because I go to church." And I could probably say to you on behalf of the Savior, "Yeah, I get that. But do you love him?" Well, yeah, I do these things. Yeah, Jesus is getting down to the nitty gritty of what's inside. And the really interesting part is he sees the inside, not just the outside. Yeah, man looks on the outside. The Lord looks on the inside. So Peter, in this particular passage in John chapter 21, learns what he will do for Christ. And he wonders what John will do. Yeah, and that's what he said down in verse 21. You see, our Lord... what was our Lord's answer to Peter? Yeah, Peter goes on because Peter all of a sudden says, "Well, what about him?" You know, Peter, yeah, after he hears all this from Jesus, and Jesus says, "This is what you're going to do." And Peter says, "Well, what about John? What's he going to do?" You know, you and I do the same thing. You know, you might be called to a difficult task, and yet we start looking around saying, "Well, what about him? Well, what's he going to do? Or what is she going to do? What are they going to be required to do?" Because we want to compare that. We want to see if the Lord's asking us to do something more difficult than somebody that's around us. And I love how the Lord answered Peter in John chapter 21, verse 21. And basically, the Lord's answer to Peter was this: "What is that to you?" You know, what difference does that make? That's him. I'm not dealing with him. I'm dealing with you. And then he said this. He said, "Follow thou me." Don't worry about him. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about what I've asked everybody else to do. You worry about me and you, and you do what you've been assigned to do. That's all you need to worry about. And how do you do that? You deny yourself daily. You take up your cross, and you what? Follow him. Remember what he said to his disciples when he in the onset of this? Follow me. So many times through even these other scriptures outside of our text today, we see where the Lord has said, "Follow me." So you know what? He is still asking that same thing today. He's still looking at you and he is saying, "Follow me." What is your response to the Lord's call when he says, "Follow me"? You know what? He says, "Follow me" in regard to salvation. He says, "Follow me to be obedient in believer's baptism." He says, "Follow me as you study your word." He says, "Follow me in your prayer life." He says, "Follow me in your church attendance." He says, "Follow me in your giving." He says, "Follow me in all these areas of your life." So the question is, how have you responded to the Lord's call to follow him? Yeah, will you decide to follow Jesus all the way? You know, we were talking a little while ago. I said we're about a little over 3 weeks into this new year, and a lot of people have made those New Year's resolutions. Maybe you have as well. How are you doing on those? Yeah, you can't do it in and of yourself, but are you responding to the Lord's call to follow me? Because I will promise you that when 2024 began, the Lord said, "Follow me into this new year, and I will show you some great and incredible things. But deny yourself, pick up your cross, and come with me." Now, I love in the passage, you know, what we read. And I, yes, to me, every time I read this, I wonder. Back to our original text, it talks about in verse 18 that Jesus was walking by. We said that he went up to the two brothers, Peter and Andrew. They were casting nets. And then in verse 19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I love what verse 20 said. And here is just the epitome of how we should answer. Verse 20 is how they answered. It says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. It didn't say that they said, well, let me go home and pack this or get a lunch or do that or whatever. See, we can make all kinds of excuses in the world because Satan will give those to us. When Jesus comes and says, follow me, he wants you to follow him right then and there immediately. He will take care of the rest of it. And you know what? I know some people in life who the Lord has said, follow me. And they said, okay, Lord, but let me do this and let me do that and let me do this. And they have spent a lifetime doing all these other things rather than simply following him, leading with him immediately, to be obedient to what the Lord has to say. So my question to you today through our Bible study is the Lord is still saying, follow me. But the question is, what is your response to the Lord's call in your life? Have you said, yes, Lord, I will go and I will go immediately. I will follow you right now. Or have you started making excuses? Maybe you've been making excuses for years, maybe even decades or even a lifetime. Today is a new day. Today is the day to surrender and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up the cross, and I am going to follow you into your glory. I am going to go all the way. Yeah, I'm going to keep my shoulder to the grindstone until I see you in glory. What a great way to not only begin a new year, but to begin a new life in following Christ until you have that chance to see him. Will you do that? In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. I want to tell you what it is that we're going to be studying for next week. I'll let you know what I want you to read this week. This week, I want you to spend some time in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 4. So that's John chapter 4. And next week, we're going to discuss harvest time from the book of John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38. So spend a little bit of time in there this week, praying, asking the Lord to reveal himself to you through his word. As he says, follow me, because I will promise you this, it will be the greatest journey that you have ever been on in your life. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you now, we once again thank you for the fact that you find us, you seek us. We don't have to go out there seeking you because you come and find us where we are. You meet us in the middle of our situations and circumstances and in all that we do. But Lord, I also pray that as you give us that call to follow you, much like you did your first disciples, that we will have the strength, that we will have the courage, that we will have the faith rather than fear to be able to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to drop what I'm doing right now and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow you to great adventures, to great journeys, and to the greatest opportunity, not only on this side of glory, but Father, straight into the glory that you have told us so much about. Lord, I pray for each and every person right now that you will give us strength for that journey. Help us along the way to be what you want us to be rather than what we think we should be. Lord, help us to do it your way by simply following you. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home or you happen to be in the area, we would certainly love to have you visit with us. Our Sunday services are at 10:45 a.m. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with the area, we're right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. And we would just love to have you come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. If you need us for anything, you can contact us through the website. We would love to be able to help you along your spiritual journey. God bless you, and I pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.